This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Matthew Wade, Star Observer editor, joins us in the studio. The latest edition's just been dropped. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. What are we looking at in this edition?
So this is our youth edition, particularly because coming up in a week or two is Wear It Purple Day, which obviously a lot of the listeners might know is a national day where people wear it purple to help support LGBTI youth. So on our cover, we have Troy Sivan, and then we have a lot of content in the magazine as well that kind of covers a lot of issues particularly affecting young people.
So Troy's on the cover, but you've interviewed him?
Yes. Actually, interestingly, I interviewed him maybe 2 years ago. He was still big then, like he had a big YouTube following and things like this, but he hadn't quite blown up yet. So when I spoke to him last time, it was really great, but I think within a week or two of that, he was then appearing on Jimmy Fallon and all these really big things. And so, like, you know, he's really big now. So I was very excited to chat to him this time.
Was he as nice this time?
Yeah, he was.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, he actually
being
was.
Young, do you think, you know, the fame could go to your head?
I was wondering that. I was thinking, oh, what if he's like, you know, a bit too cool to speak to me now? But no, he was actually still really, really lovely. So yeah, he comes across humble. So
he's an Aussie. We're all nice.
Yeah.
He talks about it in femme shaming in the gay community.
Yeah.
Why is that such a big thing?
I think that, like, for a lot of gay men, I don't mean to, I guess, paint with a broad brush, but you know, there are a lot of insecurities around effeminacy because growing up, a lot of people are bullied for coming across more effeminate than their straight counterparts. And even within the community, that can happen as well. Like, people can be put down or bullied because, I guess, they're not acting as quote-unquote masculine as perhaps other people. So
I've seen people have told me, they say that. People will say, like, no femmes.
Well, exactly,
In your dating app. And I thought, when they showed me, I thought, oh, sweetheart, you can't be judging. You should be thankful what you're getting, you know?
We can be so nasty to each other, though, can't we? I don't like you because you're too feminine. That's my insecurity, then. I'm trying to make myself, you know?
It definitely is a lot of projection going on. And I think that, Tom, you actually hit the nail on the head, so to speak, that, like, on a lot of dating apps, you know, when people say, oh, no femmes and things like this, the irony is just so rich because, I mean, people are on there, obviously, to have potentially have gay sex. So it's just funny that, you know, they're trying to position themselves that I'm more masculine or more, and I hate this term, but straight acting than someone else because I'm not.
But that's our culture now. We're all about the gym. We're all about taking the selfie in there. And I suppose when it comes through, that is a picture of the ultimate man, you know, like is what we're trying to, you know, the big muscle, broad shoulders, you know, think of the Greek god, you know, big shoulders, you know, little abs, small penis. I mean, it's exactly what we don't want to see.
But saying straight acting, I mean, that's just because we want to belong to, you know, the bigger group. So we don't want to stand out as different.
Well, exactly.
So we're saying
we're
straight acting, but we are different and there's nothing wrong with that.
And I guess, in saying that or pushing that ideal forward, it kind of ostracizes or isolates members of the community who don't fit that. So, like, people who are a lot more effeminate, and Troy in particular, like, his new album comes out, I think, in a week or two, but his last single, Bloom, in the music video, you know, he's wearing lipstick and these amazing outfits or whatever. So he's, and it very much was kind of trying to, you know, break that misconception that men have to be very masculine and whatever to be.
I should learn that. You know, I don't have to be so butch all the time. You know, I don't need to be so masculine.
Have you already explained to the listeners what you're wearing? Because I'm actually, I'm a little bit blinded at the moment. Like, Tom is wearing an amazing silver jacket, a glittery t-shirt. It's amazing.
Thank you. And shoes that match.
Oh, and shoes as well, yeah.
You know why they're shining like that? So you can look up boys' gym shorts.
Oh, right.
Okay. You can get them underneath there. You can get a bit of a picture.
For our Sydney listeners, you've got an article about sex education in the Sydney's Bible Belt.
Yes.
What is the Bible Belt?
Well, it's a few areas in Western Sydney in particular where religion, I guess, is at has the highest proportion of people that are religious.
Out near my mother in the West, it's like the Mormons have their little compound and they all just live in these little satellites around them. Yep. It's crazy.
Well, interestingly, I guess that piece in particular, Warren, we spoke to some young people who live in those areas growing up because I guess they're not really exposed to adequate, you know, sexual health education or health services even. So they're growing up in an area where a lot of people, I guess, don't see homosexuality as something that's very acceptable. So we just kind of wanted to highlight that for some people in particular areas. And that's not really that far out. I mean, Western Sydney is not like in the bush. Like, it's, you know, it's relatively central. yeah, people are just not able to get the right education, which can be quite damaging, I guess, to their development as a gay or LGBTI person.
And someone, I was reading the article, and someone talks about how there's a list of, I think the organisation's called Stigma, of gay-friendly GPs, and it just reminded me of how important it is to have access to these people. I remember going to the dentist once and him saying, you know, what's your sexual orientation, which was totally irrelevant, and then saying, well, because you sleep with men, we have to put in extra precautions. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a second, I'm just having my teeth pulled out.
Exactly.
Same precautions for everyone. So, but that made me quite scared of dentists for some time being.
One of the young people actually, and I hope I'm not paraphrasing too much, but essentially said that they went to the doctor when they were younger, and it was with a family friend, like the doctor was a family friend. And when the doctor was asking him about, you know, oh, why, you know, so do you have a girlfriend? It was about a sexual health, I think, checkup. He said, oh, no, like I'm with a boyfriend. And she kind of said, oh, really? And then she's like, oh, I just didn't expect that from you or whatever. And then she basically made him very uncomfortable and he didn't go back again. So that kind of experience can actually make people not want to do things like get sexual health checkups or, you know, read up on all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's really important.
Pansexuality, you cover that as well. What is pansexuality?
Yeah, so just a quick, I guess, to provide some context, I guess because we were focusing on youth, I feel like a lot of the younger generations are starting to embrace a lot more identities, you know, than perhaps existed 20 to 30 years ago. So a lot of younger people are identifying as non-binary now or pansexual. So I guess whereas bisexuality in particular is an attraction to both genders, so male and female, pansexuality means you're kind of open to being attracted to any gender. And actually, it's probably more often regardless of gender. So you're attracted to someone not because their body looks like this or their body looks like that, but just because of who they are.
Because of the person.
Yeah.
Like a bisexual, if you like men and... Do we all have to have a label?
No,
can
not at all.
Do we just fall under the rainbow flag? Do we all have to come under... What's this... pansexual?
Well, Lucy, the young woman who wrote that piece, she actually mentioned the fact that, yeah, for a lot of people, I mean, labels can be quite constricting because at the end of the day, like, the more we add in the community, it kind of
the more
divides
it separates us.
Well, exactly.
We're actually meant to become a part, and now we're also separated. We're also upset if we don't mention the A or the A or it gets... And it's got to the point that we're all too scared to talk to each other because we're all going to be ashamed that we might insult somebody or we haven't said the right terminology, which is in today's thing, rather than just accepting people for being human.
It's true. Like, I think that, labels, I mean, personally, I think that labels can be quite divisive. I guess the point I took from Lucy's piece that I did agree with, though, was, I guess, for somebody who grows up, I mean, maybe being aware of there being, you can be gay or you can be lesbian or even bisexual, if you grow up and you don't necessarily fit any of those labels, you don't really know who you are or what your identity is. So I guess in some capacity, a word like pansexual coming across that, and if that does relate to who you are, can be quite empowering because you're like, oh, I've actually found this actually describes, you know, who I am. But you're right. I think in more of a utopia, it would be great if we didn't need that at all because you're right. Like we all should come under the same kind of rainbow umbrella.
Just
but
poke what you poke. Get over it. You know, like if you want to...
you also talk about Shangela.
Oh, Shangela, yeah. So
Shangela.
That's so good. I love it.
That'll get you for jumping the question, wasn't it?
Some sort of
no.
Wait, microorganism.
Sorry, I love it. You know,
it sounds like a disease or something.
I'm going to take my jacket off. I'm sweating now. That was so good. Oh, I needed a. Thank you, Warren.
I'm assuming maybe Warren, you've not seen RuPaul's Drag Race before?
I saw the first series.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I haven't seen it since.
Have you seen it, Tom?
I'm laughing at him. It's one word in the whole script I actually know.
Tom's taken away my gay card.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, it's okay.
Yeah,
of course,
we know who Shangela was. She was in there like season 3 or 4.
She's in actually multiple seasons,
so they keep bringing the bitch back.
Yeah.
I mean, Ru's trying to make a win, but it doesn't matter how many times you drag her out. She's really good. Like, she's great.
She is amazing.
She's fantastic. She's just not a winner.
Well, interestingly, the last season she was in, and this is probably, I know, Warren, you haven't seen this season, but
no,
the last one that she was in, I actually personally believe she deserved to win and she didn't. A lot of people felt she was robbed. I will say, though, however, I mean, obviously over the last few years I've interviewed I can't even count the number of people I've interviewed, but with Shangela in particular, she was probably the most charismatic and on person that I've ever spoken to. She's hilarious, and she's always just very witty, and so she was really great.
Have
to
you actually
with.
Interviewed the Cameron Michaels, the winner from?
No, I haven't. No, wait.
Was
from
the name Cameron
Aquaria
Michael?
Or Cameron Michaels?
Well, not Aquaria. Oh, sorry, he didn't. Yeah, he won. Cameron Michaels beat Aquaria, didn't he?
No, Aquaria won.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't remember.
Cameron
no,
Michaels
right,
in
no,
the final,
right,
though.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Was, yeah.
I haven't interviewed Cameron, no, but they were actually in Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because he looks so bloody boring, and I thought,
There's an article about raising a trans child.
Yeah, so some people might be familiar with Jo Hurst, who's written a couple of books for young people about trans identities, She's also the mum of a trans kid. She kind of put together a piece for people, I guess, who have never had to experience raising a trans kid, or maybe someone that is just starting to do that because they're... kid is, I guess, starting to transition or whatever it may be. And she kind of wrote about, I guess, the barriers that people face, but also the good things about it as well, challenges, positives and negatives. And I think one of the most important things I took away from it was she was saying how it's kind of inevitable if you have a trans kid that you become, I guess, their voice to the outside world. So a lot of people are going to question, like, oh, why are they doing this? Who are they? Whatever. And you have to almost become, like, their champion, like their advocate. And I thought that was quite, like, a
that's
nice...
That's really good. And that's good parenting. I mean, and a good parent has to do that with children with disabilities and anything.
Exactly,
become the voice and the champion, and that's what you have to do. And
yeah, exactly.
Good parenting. She's really good. She's recommended. Read anything she writes.
And in very sad news for Tom, poppers could soon be banned in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that the work when you have a wedding and you go, oh, pop and a little stream has come out?
Yeah, so that, well, Amel potentially is going
to... Oh, that dirty, filthy stuff. Yeah. No, don't. You remember the old days? You're too young, but we used to go into clubs and that's all you could smell.
Oh,
you'd get
right.
a headache.
Like dirty socks.
It was gross, wasn't it?
Yeah. So could you get, like, could you experience it secondhand because so many people...
Yes. Leave. It was the point that it was disgusting.
Wow. Well, it's maybe going to be banned by the TGA, which is, it's pending at the moment. And a proud poppers or AML user put a piece together for us, basically saying how it was kind of ridiculous to ban something like this because it's not really harmful. I haven't even mentioned the headache thing, but, to ban it is to compare it to something that's quite illicit, like, you know, a drug that actually is quite harmful.
Don't forget, I'm going back in days when you could smoke in clubs.
Of course.
It was disgusting, but you walked in, it was either cigarettes.
Now it's
a lot cleaner.
It's
now.
Different,
people are a lot nicer. And well, that's a shame. I mean, why ban anything? I don't get banning things.
That's a very good philosophical question.
That's true.
No, look, you know what? Open the cupboard. Take what you want. Do what you want, you know? Yeah.
I think the author compares it to the war on pleasure.
Yeah, he does actually. Yeah, he does. He says the war on drugs and a war on pleasure because he's saying, you know, it's been such a pastime for gay and queer men and quite a relatively harmless one to kind of take it away with no real, I guess, solid reason. He likens it to a war on pleasure, which is quite interesting.
Excellent, Matthew. The copy of this week's Star Observer month, I should say the month, because you're a monthly, aren't you?
Yep.
You only come once a month.
Yeah.
Where can we grab it?
The distribution points are on our website, but in Melbourne in particular, Joy's obviously always a great place. Hares and Hyenas. If you're around Collingwood, there's plenty of places. But yeah,
and did you know you can also download it? You can go and join.
Yes, that's true.
It's the Star Observer website. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.